Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay, ooh, I want to be there in my city. Oh, 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 oh,
oh. There are three cities in north central Wisconsin, all represented by non-traditional candidates who ran for mayor and won. On April 3rd in Merrill, Derek Wolner, a 25-year-old digital designer at Merrill Steel, defeated a two-term incumbent by just 79 votes. The same day in Rhinelander, Chris Fredrickson, a respiratory therapist and youth soccer coach with no political experience, was elected mayor in a write-in campaign. And back in 2012, Zach Vruink, just 24 years of age, who had graduated from UW-Stevens Point just 2 years earlier, was elected mayor of Wisconsin Rapids. He has since been reelected in 2014 and 2016. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we're going to delve into the question of leadership with our three guests, talk to them about how they intend to respond to the biggest challenges facing their three cities, and discuss the increasing willingness of voters in America and Wisconsin to select candidates without traditional political experience. If this is something you'd like to discuss with us, we'd like to hear from you this morning. You can give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on our webpage, wpr.org/route51, and I will read it live on the air. Zach, Chris, and Derek, thanks so much for not only being with us today, but being with us in person. Chris, you drove down from Rhinelander. Zach, you drove up from Wisconsin Rapids. Derek, not quite as far a trip from you for you from Merrill. But, yeah, thanks for being in the studio. I think we'll have a good conversation this morning. Derek, I'd like to start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up being elected mayor of the city of Merrill at the young age of 25.
I was born and raised in Merrill. I went to UW-Stout for originally for game design and development, but transitioned into the professional communications program. And as I left college, I wasn't totally sure what I wanted to do, but I was being drawn to politics. It's a very political time in America right now, and I think I was inspired by the Bernie Sanders campaign, seeing the anti-establishment candidate do so well, and Donald Trump obviously showed that the anti-establishment candidate could win.
You bet. And during that campaign, you ran for the state assembly as a Democrat in the Merrill area.
That's true.
Yeah, you didn't make the primary cut, but you know, you're the mayor now. You're going to have to govern without party labels.
Mm-hmm. I ran as a Democrat. I'm not very happy with either parties. Bernie Sanders running as a Democrat, he's traditionally an independent, and I've always felt independent as well, but in this system, you have to run in the primaries.
You have to pick one of the two big horses, usually.
Yes.
Was your age a negative factor in the race?
I think it was a positive.
Really?
Yes, definitely, because there's a term thrown around a lot, the good old boys club. Being a young person, it's quite obvious that I'm not part of that club. So
you're a digital design engineer right now at Merrill Steel in Schofield. How are you going to balance your job at Merrill Steel with your duties as mayor?
My schedule there is very flexible, and the company is working with me to make it work.
And you also serve on the Lincoln County Board.
Yes, that's true.
Why did you want to run for mayor?
There's a lot of reasons. I think every time I answer, I have a slightly different response. I was hearing a lot of people in the community just say, like, Merrill needs a new direction. Things need to change. And there wasn't going to be a candidate that brought that, so I took it upon myself.
You defeated a two-term incumbent, Bill Bielecki. Not an easy task. How did you do it?
I believe it was through Facebook. I tried experimenting with different ways of reaching people. We don't have like a public square anymore where the whole town gathers. So you really have to try hard to find out and go out and find out where people are gathering and talking about things.
And I understand that you were just sworn in this week. How are you settling in?
It's been an experience.
Well, let's move to Chris Fredrickson. Chris, you're not as young as our other two guests, but you're younger than me. You ran for mayor without a lot of political experience, and you ended up winning. Tell us about how that happened.
I believe, honestly, that the people nowadays, one, there's a communication factor, as you already pointed out with Facebook. There's a way to communicate to the old and the older generation and the younger generation. When that happens, we have to be able to reach out to them and listen to them. And without a public square where there's somebody to look eye in eye, you have to base it on kind of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Having a clean slate is one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is I've been invested in the city a lot of different ways through nonprofits, but mainly through coaching. And when I look at those kids that I care about them, I want them to come back. So when I talk about infrastructure, when I talk about amenities that we need to bring to town, increasing the tax base, it's because I want those kids to come back. Rhinelander High School's had probably 12 to 13 physicians that they've graduated from that high school, yep, gone on to be physicians. We've had one return, and that's not a good thing.
Well, you're a respiratory therapist and a girls' soccer coach.
And hockey.
Edge. What made you want to get into politics?
Them, honestly. I consider myself a culture coach. A part of my leadership style is servant leadership. I've told the girls, too, you don't play for me. I coach for you. That servant leadership rang true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people really understood that. I'm there to represent the taxpayers. Quite often we get at games in politics, whether it be bipartisan politics or whatever kind of politics you want. Grades on our fiscals, grades on, you know, on our cultures or anything else. As a coach, you realize you got to put it all together. I mean, a really good coach not only has a good team, the other team has fun. The refs have fun. The parents appreciate it. Everybody gets better.
Now, you often hear about bottom-up leadership versus top-down leadership. Sounds like you're a subscriber to the bottom-up philosophy.
Not so much. From the top, you have to lead strong, and you really do have to lead strong. But from the perspective that you're taking the bottom in equal value to the top, we're all taxpayers have get one vote to begin with. And as a write-in, it was a good margin also. Also, record turnout. When you talk about the people you inspire to come out, and I even found out last night in the meet and greet, you know, I would have thought my population of voter was younger because they either come through the school districts or they're parents of the people. I had a substantial amount of older generation people that came out to vote for me.
Well, how did you end up running a write-in campaign?
Oh, okay. I made a mistake. Sorry. No.
so you wanted to be on the ballot, but
absolutely. Yeah. I declared as a balloted campaign. When I collected my nominations, and this is going to sound like an excuse, and that's fine. It was my mistake. I didn't read it.
Well, it
thoroughly.
Doesn't matter. You won, right?
Yeah. But at the bottom, when it says the certified collector, it has you sign a date. That date is the last date of the people signing. Now, I work at a hospital where every single day I sign my name and time down, and the only legal name and, you know, time and date is that exact moment. So when I signed it that day, I signed it that time.
Well, there was another write-in candidate. Is that correct? Scott Counter, is that how you pronounce his name? And then
correct.
There was a candidate whose name was on the ballot, Alex Young, who had a lot of experience in local politics. He'd been on the Rhinelander City Council for 13 years, and yet voters went to the effort to write in your name, even though you've got no political experience. What was the secret to having that happen for you? Because honestly, I think you're the first successful write-in candidate I've ever talked to in my 40 years of being in news journalism.
One of my supporters that night, I wasn't surprised. I really wasn't surprised. I know my city. I mean, a part of that, too, is really knowing the people. The town squares aren't town squares anymore. Now they're soccer fields, they're churches, they're, you know, they're the businesses. When you work in the healthcare field, you touch a lot of lives. That made a difference. My reputation preceded itself with being a caring man. I'd say honesty. That was a big thing. I don't know how to lie. You can look at my face right now, and if I was lying, you'd be like, I don't know how to lie. That being the case, that carries through, and I think people appreciate that. Even if you're either side of the pendulum or anything else, they're like, you know what? He's going to do what he says he's going to do. He's going to, you know, he's going to follow through. And the fact that I didn't quit, I mean, I think that really made a difference too, is when I got bumped off the ballot, I first appealed and then did, you know, failed in the appeal based on the timeline, then turned around and I went as a write-in.
Well, you know, congratulations on that, because it's a lot harder to get voters to write in your name than to have them just fill in that little circle next to the ballot. You're still a respiratory therapist. Being mayor, it's a powerful job, but it's a part-time job in Rhinelander. How are you going to balance those two?
I cut back to part-time as a respiratory therapist, you know, just to – I tried to equal out my wage so I could put my kids through college. But so I went to 2/12s from 3/12s a week. So like this weekend, I got to spend the whole week in office. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I worked 3/12s. So then next week I'm in, you know, in office all the way till Friday is my second of those 2 days, because Sunday and Friday go together. So there'll be days where it's difficult to do. I have a phone. The phone can sit in the office. I can answer texts. I can, you know, I can do those things. Mm-hmm. If I had to sign something, they could bring it to the hospital. It's not like that's, you know, out of bounds. I do get breaks, you know, to do things.
Well, you just took office. How are you settling in?
Oh, it's fun. You know, I think Derek pointed out, it's a new experience. It's a clean slate. We're not sitting there from five times sitting behind that mic and speaking to people or and having that kind of authority. Even coaching youth, you learn what authority is. It's actually taking hold of that authority, but doing it respectfully. And when you do that, it doesn't matter where you do it or how you – well, it matters how you do it, but it's the same thing. It is exactly the same thing.
You consider yourself a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent?
I've explained this often. I was raised a Republican by my dad. He owned a grocery store, had a 2-4% profit margin, had true trickle down. There was no golden parachute. When he didn't build his business further, it got bought out, because that's what happens. But at the same time, he believed in his employees and actually building that tax base. That was an important thing. So I'm a Republican that'll run across the aisle, because when those rules hurt those taxpayers, then I have a problem.
It's Chris Fredrickson, the mayor of Rhinelander. Zach Vrewink, you've been there and you've done that. You were elected mayor of Wisconsin Rapids in 2012 at the young age of 24. You had only graduated from UW-Stevens Point a couple of years earlier. Reflect back on that decision you had to run and what that first campaign was like for you.
Well, really, it came very similar to these two gentlemen that really had to make a name for themselves. When they put themselves out there without any experience, you really have to establish yourself as a viable candidate. And for me, it was really going door to door and knocking the most amount of doors that I ever thought I would have to knock, really to establish myself as, you had said, I was a 24-year-old. You know, you're going to elect a full-time mayor to run the city. You're vesting a lot of authority and power and responsibility in that position, in that person. So I think for me, it was establishing myself, getting my name out there, and really listening. I think when I was knocking doors, the amount of time I spent listening at the door to people's concerns or what they felt the mm-hmm. city's issues were really was a big core component of getting elected. And I think as well as leveraging online social media, that recognizing that reaching voters has changed as in the advent of social media. And I think for me, it was a very effective tool to get my communication and message out.
You were in a field of four candidates, but you had the endorsement of the retiring mayor, Mary Jo Carson.
That's right.
Who was 72 years old.
Yes.
She obviously wasn't put off by your young age.
Right. Well, in fact, I ran into her at a panel at UWSP when she was after she had announced she was going to not seek the position and had approached me and said, maybe that's something, joking, I think half joking, and maybe it'd be something I'd be interested in. And when I came back after college, spoke with a lot of community leaders, and they said, you know, it's time for somebody young, and given your business experience, having started a small business throughout high school and into college, I felt that it really uniquely positioned me to run the city and become the next chief elected
of
the city.
Let's talk about that business. You had very little traditional political experience, but you were the owner of, was it three computer and cell phone stores?
That's right.
At the tender age of 24?
Yeah, right.
Tell us how that business experience played into your run for mayor.
Well, you know, being a small business owner, you do everything from clean the toilets to take care of customers and everything in between. And I think just having that humbling experience of running a small business and employing staff and really putting a product and a market and a messaging marketing message out there really translated well into running the city. You know, you have to manage to a budget. You have to be futuristic and you have to forecast a lot. And in the city of Rapids, having many economic challenges and many of the similar challenges that the folks have mentioned here regarding driving attraction and retention of young people, we brought a lot of that same energy and approach that we had mm-hmm. to be very unique and entrepreneurial in how we do that.
And you've since been reelected twice in 2014 and 20. Well, the first one was 2012, right?
Right. Oh yeah, three
you've reelected 2014 three times, right. and 2016. What's the secret to getting reelected once you get in?
Well, I thought, you know, you work really hard in that first race. You establish yourself. But in a two-year term, voters have high expectations that you're going to deliver on very various projects, whether it's bricks and mortar or dramatically change the economic attitude and situation in the community. So really, it's explaining that change is a long-term proposition, that by just electing a new mayor, the new mayor isn't going to wave a magic wand and problems and issues are going to go away. But really, getting out there and meeting voters and explaining the process and helping them understand the various stages of which our initiatives are at. It isn't any easier running for re-election, especially as a full-time mayor, as an incumbent. You have to run the city as well as campaign.
Right.
And so the free time goes away and you really have to kind of keep yourself grounded and really time management becomes a really important skill.
What advice do you have for Derek and Chris who are just taking office?
I think continue to listen. I find that I don't have all the solutions. I never did when I came to the office. I just knew that if folks were going to come to me and support me, that a lot of their ideas can be put into practice at City Hall. And I think that's been a big part of it. Work with the City Council. I've been very fortunate to have a very progressive, I guess, and open-minded City Council, the various initiatives. And I think that's obviously where the action happens, even in a strong mayor council form of government, mm-hmm. Not having to work with an administrator.
And we'll get into the difference in the forms of government a little bit later in the show. I got to ask you the same question. You Democrat, Republican, Independent?
Well, I've always governed in a nonpartisan fashion, and I intend to continue to. I lean left, but I don't actually belong to a political party in Wisconsin.
What do you think of, Derek, what do you think of his advice to you? Listen, work with the council.
Excellent. I ran a fair amount of my platform on dialogue, that it's not just a statement that we make, it's the dialogue back. Last weekend, we had our state representatives up there for a listening session. And it was interesting. They only got 2 minutes at the end to speak. That was it. Otherwise, uh-huh. the rest of the time was a public speaking to them. And it was an interesting format because people would take their platform and be in 2 minutes. Some of them had it very organized and correct. In other words, were more passionate. Watching them actually listen and write down and start to formulate the idea, because they only had 2 minutes to do it. But also I want to ask if you'll come up and speak to the high schools about entrepreneurship at an early age. The jumping off, I think our younger generation wants to own it now. Mm-hmm. And you can. I mean, you really can. Mm-hmm. They've been set up by big box companies or anything else that might say, no, we're going to come buy you out. I really want them to be inspired that way, where they're like, Take hold of your future now.
Yeah, you can. I mean, if you don't know what you're doing in life, you can always learn. Start a business, and it's not the easiest thing in the world. Derek, your response to the advice: listen and work with the City Council and all of the people who have a stake in Merrill.
I think listening is key. If you hear someone out, you probably have earned their vote just because they want to be heard. They want someone elected that they know will keep an ear open. There's no way to find the answers unless you're listening to the people that are living the problems. We have smart people up in Merrill. You got to listen to them.
Derek Wallner, the newly elected mayor of Merrill. He's just 25 years old. Chris Fredrickson, the new mayor of Rhinelander, who was elected on a write-in campaign with no political experience. And Zach Vruwink, the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids, who was just 24 when he was elected. I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to Route 51, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation, let's go to Ray in Rhinelander. Ray, you're on Route 51.
Hi, Glenn. I was just getting my playlist for my Blue Show Friday. We have a pledge drive here at 91.7 WXPR.
Chris Fredrickson loves your radio station, and so do I. So
I know you all do, and thank you. And listen, I want to congratulate all three of you. I'm going to get back to you, Chris, in a moment because they're my hometown man. We're glad that you got in on the right end. But all three of you, what I see in the research I've done and heard from people, because I do a lot of social outreach. I'm retired. I do a lot of things. I'm involved with a lot of stuff. But besides that, what I've heard about all three of you, that you're hands-on, your socialization skills are fantastic, and that's what it's about. It's social outreach. That's how you reach people. When people see somebody who's out there concerned, asking questions, promoting, and trying to do something, it's a brave new world now, so to speak, that people want this now. Everybody's been exposed to the same old genres of government where they have their meetings and they discuss things, and the public really doesn't even know what's going on. The decisions are made, and then after the fact, you're sitting there, how did this come about? Nobody talked to me. There was nothing out in public about this. And, Chris, this is why you got wrote in. I heard from a lot of people before and after as that, okay, Mayor Johns has been there forever. He was a good mayor. He was retiring. But it was time for new blood, meaning Chris is really into the socialization part of getting people involved. We're going to have a lot more activities in Rhinelander, and it's all about people feeling that they can be a part of things. When you can promote that, you're going to get a vote. And if you can walk your talk, that's what happens. So, Chris, thank you. It doesn't surprise me what happened. Derek, it's great. A new evolution in Merrill. And, of course, Zach, you have already proved yourself. So this is really fantastic to have all these different mayors doing things up in this part of the world. And good luck, and take care.
All right, Ray, thanks so much for the phone call. Chris, a quick response. We do have to take a break.
Absolutely. In response, first of all, thank you, Ray. Second, I'm humbled to be here today. I'm 46. It was my birthday yesterday. You haven't mentioned my age, which thank you. But even being the elder of the three, I have experience I can pull from and inspiration I can pull from my right. And that's a neat thing. I mean, it is all about the dialogue, and being able to pull from each other is exceptional.
It's what cool. It's all about.
Yeah.
Today on Route 51, we're talking with Derek Wallner, the newly elected mayor of Merrill, Chris Fredrickson, the newly elected mayor of Rhinelander, and Zach Vruwink, the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 webpage, wpr.org/Route 51. We're going to take a short break, but I got a song here for our three mayors. Here's an old song by the Andrews Sisters about a mayor of a city that isn't covered with 3 feet of snow right now.
Now you've heard my story about the mayor of Conotoc. All his fame and glory on the island of Molokai. Oh, he wore a mallow and a coconut hat. One was for this and the other for that. All the people shouted as he went by. He was a very cockeyed mayor of Conotoc.
Got nothing against the big town. Still hate seat enough to say, look who's in the big town. But my bed is in a small town. Oh, that's good enough for me.
John Mellencamp taking us into our next segment of Route 51 as we continue our discussion with Derek Wallner, the newly elected mayor of Merrill, Chris Fredrickson, the newly elected mayor of Wisconsin Rapids, and Zach Vruwink, the mayor of Wisconsin. Chris is with Rhinelander, and Zach Vruwink is the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're talking about non-traditional leadership today in our cities and small towns, and the willingness of voters to elect candidates who lack traditional political experience. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. Or, again, you can put a comment on the Route 51 webpage, wpr.org/Route 51. Well, you are all three mayors of cities in north-central Wisconsin that are in many ways still small towns. Merrill, population 9,661. Rhinelander, population 7,589. Wisconsin Rapids, population 17,887. Comment, if you could, on the advantages and challenges of governing in a small town or a small city. And, Zach, why don't you start with that one?
Well, I think the advantages certainly are you can reach so many people. You know the community. They're tight-knit communities. I think all three of them, even there's some zeros that separate us, I guess. But I think that's the neat part about governing in a smaller community. But the challenge, I think, is the fact that there's a lot of factors outside of our control. When we try to bring about change or bring a new initiative, or even from a business development standpoint, rural communities nationwide are struggling. They're lagging the national recovery. They're lagging the state's recovery. And I'll let those two speak about their own communities. But I know in Wisconsin Rapids, our incomes are not growing as fast as they are across the state. So I think those are some of the disadvantages. There are things outside the sphere of influence of the city and the city council, which is certainly frustrating to the electorate because they expect the mayor and the city to fix their problems. But and I think even when you talk about fiscal policies in the state, cities have been very challenged to do business. But at the same time, the expectations don't change.
Chris Fredrickson, hard to imagine somebody winning a write-in campaign in a big city. But you can do it in Rhinelander.
True. And actually, even that's a little bit different because we serve 20 to 35,000 people. So we have 7,000 people in city proper, but our city, if you ask people if they're from Rhinelander, they're from Newbold, they're from, you know, all McNaughton, they're from,
the mayor's
getting
a text message.
The guy never stops working. It's the city minister. Get off the radio. No, I'm just kidding. But once again, the infrastructure is held by the city itself, even though the rest of the outside populations do it. We have a tax shift that's even different. We tax at 22 per thousand, and the ones around us are 14, 16. So if you were moving to Rhinelander even for a job, why would you live in the city? The things I get to focus on and my challenges, and actually what I call my opportunities, because really you can complain all day long, how do I make city proper a place to live? How do I expand that tax base? How do I reach out to businesses so that that pie gets a little bit bigger? We have a police force and a fire department that's paid, and that's in a city that size. We also have an excellent, excellent safety record. So that's something I can wave as a flag to those businesses coming in. Listen, your business is safe. Your employees are safe. The school district, it serves a larger population. That's one area where we can work and get better even yet. But people coming out of our Rhinelander school district, really when they go through the different AP classes and stuff, come out with a phenomenal education. We're prepared for college, and that's cool. We need to wave that flag also a little more. Our property increase in value. We're a high rental rate in the city. How do we increase property pride? Problem for me also, I've got some ideas. I'm a creative thinker. I paint. I look at the problems a little bit different. I pull from my resources. I'm definitely going to be talking to this guy and this guy because there's things that they do better than us.
Well, I'm glad that the three of you had a chance to meet each other. Derek Wolner, the advantages of being a mayor of a relatively small town.
The biggest advantage is in a small town, everyone knows everyone. So if you have a problem, you probably know someone that's educated in that field or has experience in that field, and you know who to go talk to. A disadvantage is, from what I see, a lot of young people are fleeing the small towns. They're going to the bigger cities. Going to college at UW-Stout, nearly everyone was moving to the Twin Cities after college instead of back to their hometowns. I wish to reverse that trend, get the kids back into the small towns where they can create businesses and
Well, let's use that as a jumping board here. Correct me if I'm wrong, but all three cities have lost population in recent years. Merrill went from 10,146 in 2000 to 9,661. Not a big decrease, but a decrease nonetheless. Rhinelander went from 7,798 in 2010 to 7,589, according to what I got off the webpage. And Wisconsin Rapids went from 18,367 in 2010 to 17,887 in 2016. Do stagnant or declining populations pose a problem for your communities? And if so, what, if anything, can you do to address it? Zach Brewing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Chris touched on it. The pie, you have to maintain the size of the pie or grow the pie, or residents that stay there carry a a larger burden of tax base or any of the cost of services. And I think, you know, as small communities, we need to continue to reinvest in ourselves to create a vibe that attracts folks to our communities. But certainly there is a burden that's shared by the residents that continue to live there.
And Chris, Rhinelander is surrounded by beautiful lakes and forests, right? Maryland, Wisconsin Rapids surrounded by beautiful countryside. Does this add to the quality of life, or does it also make it harder for you to get people to live inside the city proper?
Those are kind of two different questions. Living in the city proper is a choice, and we don't necessarily affect that choice. The only thing I do is make that choice more attractive by having better amenities. How do I do that, and how do I build those resources to get better amenities? Some of that you can pull from the area. Your events have to be large. Eagle River does an amazing job of trapping those tourist dollars in their events. They do that by pooling all of their civic groups, their citizen groups together for those events, so they're done with excellence.
Well, you've got the Hodag every year in Rhinelander, which draws a lot of people.
Yeah, but even in the Hodag, it's away from city proper. That's out in Pine Lake. And once you take 30,000 people and you put them out in the city to camp, you know, they'll come and spend. And I'm not saying it's bad, but what I'm saying, we need to really work on our own events that bring people to town with the working population of the people around us and then trap.
Derek Wollner, how do you get people to move to Merrill?
We need a way to market the city. One of the ideas I have right now is to make Merrill a disc golf capital. Young professionals are
what kind of a capital?
A disc golf.
Disc golf?
Disc golf.
Explain that for the people like me who don't know what you're talking about.
So disc golf is just like golf, except it's played with a frisbee.
It's
a slightly different design, so it's called a disc.
You got to market disc golf as well as market Merrill.
Yes. But
young people know it.
Yeah, they do. It's huge in all the colleges.
And I am the oldest person sitting in this room.
But disc golf, it's much cheaper than regular golf, and I think that's what's drawing a lot of millennials. And it's great because all generations can play it. I've seen little kids like 4 years old out there playing disc golf. Mm-hmm. So it's a great sport because it can get the whole family together, and it really just it's cheap to play. You just need a disc or two, and I see it as a very marketable way to bring young people in.
I'm going to interject real quick because I thought it was a brilliant idea. Madison at the Civic Center, and this is CrossFit. CrossFit's just a new way to exercise. On the weekend, they brought in the CrossFit event, $6 to $8 million on that weekend. So when you have something you can market and you can hang your hat on and do it with excellence, it can make a difference quickly. And as Zach, Derek, mm-hmm. Zach. Zach pointed out, you have a 2-year window sometimes to actually make a difference. So if it's a cheap, you know, fence posts on different things so that they can do it, and you start creating those events, it's brilliant.
Zach Fruink, how do you get people into downtown?
Well, I think you have to create a reason for people to be there, a destination. You know, Rapids is a community of within a community of about 45,000 people. And so we believe the downtown of Wisconsin Rapids is the region's downtown. And we need to attract the spend and the residents not only to spend their time there, but also a big investment for us has been housing, to get people to live downtown. Our housing census is 7. If you want to live downtown, there are 7 residents that live in downtown proper. And so we talk about trying to grow business and create a vibrant downtown, you need to have housing units for people to live there. And so that's a major part of our economic development strategy is growing the downtown, not only to attract and retain young adults and young professionals, but also to get people to spend their, and it actually crosses all generations. Empty nesters and young professionals mm-hmm. and millennials alike want to have that vibe and the energy that the downtown offers.
We're talking to Zach Vruink, the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids, Chris Fredrickson, the newly elected mayor of Rhinelander, and Derek Wollner, the newly elected mayor of Merrill. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's go to Martin in Friendship. Martin, you're on Route 51.
Yes, I'd like to address the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids and the loss of the secondhand store. Mm-hmm. The mention of economic challenge was on the air, and many people came from considerable distances to use that store. And my question is, why wasn't a very concerted effort made to keep a second pain store in Wisconsin Rapids. Thank you. I'll take your reply off the air.
All right, Martin, thanks for the phone call. Zach Brewing?
Well, for some perspective for folks, it was actually a casualty of the closure of our shopping mall that created that departure of the store. The store ownership decided that they couldn't operate the store with paid staff, and so we had showed them a number of spaces throughout the community to relocate, and unfortunately they made the decision not to relocate in the city. So it wasn't anything really that the city could have done through incentives or any other means to keep them in the community. We believe, though, since there is a market for it, that it's a business opportunity. It's an entrepreneurship opportunity for somebody to take that venture on. But unfortunately, as we all know, the decline of the shopping malls has really left a hole in communities, and so we hope that somebody will take that opportunity on.
You had a very unusual and kind of a groundbreaking attitude toward your dying shopping mall. Explain to us briefly the different elements that went into what you've done with that.
Well, as we saw trends nationally, we really couldn't throw good money after bad in trying to save a declining shopping mall. And so there was a YMCA and our Boys and Girls Club had announced a great partnership to come together to serve youth and families in our community. And ultimately, a benefactor stepped forward and said, you know, let's buy the shopping mall. The VA clinic is also on site there. So we're in the midst right now of a $28 million redevelopment of our mall that's going to bring the Boys and Girls Club and the YMCA and the VA clinic all together, really, with our community theater and our senior center.
More service-oriented as opposed to retail-oriented.
That's right.
What about retail business in downtown Rhinelander, Chris Fredrickson? What are the challenges, and what do you hope to do as mayor?
First of all, with sustainability, we redid our downtown, and of course that took a year and a half, so it was a little bit of a challenge.
I tried to drive through that a number of times.
Yeah. The next portion of that is establishing that excellence and that culture. Yeah, we talk about having an event and a draw. We're getting there. I mean, we're getting there actually pretty quickly. The St. Patrick's Day parade pulled a ton of people out, actually, tell you the truth. If I looked at where I started to win the election, it was in that parade. And then afterwards, the festive attitude in our downtown was palatable. It was great. So being able to enjoy that and share that enjoyment with others is key.
Derek, Merrill's got a number of things going for it, but there's some things that are just kind of declining. Thelma's used to be a major shopping destination in downtown. Some of the downtown looks really good and healthy. The Ace Hardware is going to be there forever. Mm-hmm. Some of it not so healthy. The Cosmo Theater is an undiscovered gem. You know, if I could market anything in downtown Merrill, I'd market that theater and get people to attend some of the some of the movies that are being shown there. But what's your idea for downtown retail?
One of my platform goals was to assist startups. Part of bringing young people into Merrill is bringing entrepreneurs into Merrill. Running a campaign, I had to get I made 700 Facebook friends of people living in Merrill. That's not going away. So now, if someone comes to me with needing help, needing a way to broadcast their message to the city, like, hey, I'm opening a new boutique or a new business, I have those 700 people that I can reach, and I can assist in that way. I'd also like to one of my ideas is to create kind of like a job service center, or maybe just a way to, if you need a job, I'll write down your skills and find a place that you can enjoy working at.
Now, one of the interesting things that you want to do as mayor is give up your tie-breaking vote.
Yes.
As the mayor. Explain that to us, and then I want Chris and Zach to respond.
So a lot of times what I see in government is the person in the executive position is there because they enjoy power. They want to be in charge. I'm not like that personally. I think it's important to have good leadership. I don't think you need someone power hungry to be in that role, though. That's a negative.
So, if the city council is tied, what would you do?
It's also,
I mean, it's your vote, right? You could break the tie.
I'm going to ask the people in attendance at the city council meeting. Ask the public. One of the problems I've seen at the council meetings is not many people go. There's usually three or four. If there's a hotly debated issue, there will be 10, 20.
So you're going to poll the people, and that's going to decide how to break the tie.
Yep.
Chris Fredrickson, what do you think of that idea?
It's the first time I heard anything like it. I like it. One, as far as even being power hungry, one of the things I ran on is not – it's a part-time job, and it's a lot. I mean, one of the things I have – he doesn't have a city administrator. I'm like, holy cow, how do you get this done? But at the same time, I'm doing a full-time mayor as a part-time. I've been there since 6 in the morning till whatever. Power hungry is a different idea, and I think it's part of the breed of why we're replacing them is really a part of it. And whether it's power or – it's a learned thing that they learn their authority as a decision-making. But I'm a servant leader is what I am. So would I want that vote? Right now I represent the people, and I truly believe it, obviously, as a write-in by the margin of victory with a record turnout. You know, I represent the people. But it's really interesting. I like it.
Zach Kruwink, would you give up your tie-breaking vote?
You know, I've broken a number of ties, and I've actually declined to break a tie so it fails, of course, you know, when they don't have the majority votes. I'm curious about the veto power. You know, that's something that I finally exercised for the first time in the last week was the power of veto. You know, there's some concern about legislating from the mayor's position, but that's the separation of powers, right? The council, you know, you get some opportunity to be able to send it back to the council to deliberate and have some discussion. I wouldn't give up the tiebreaker vote as much as I don't like to be in the hot seat, and I think a lot of close decisions can happen.
Today on Route 51, we're talking with Derek Wolner, the newly elected mayor of Merrill, Chris Fredrickson, the newly elected mayor of Rhinelander, and Zach Kruwink, the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Glenn Moberg. We'll be back in just a bit, but here's Igloo and Hartley with their anthem, In This City.
Found up round here, in this city that I won't disappear. In this city, I got nothing to fear. In this city.
David Johansson taking us into our final segment of Route 51 as we continue our discussion with the mayors of three cities in north central Wisconsin. Derek Wolner, the newly elected mayor of Merrill, Chris Fredrickson, the newly elected mayor of Rhinelander, and Zach Kruwink, the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're going to take another quick phone call right now. Let's go to Paul in Rhinelander. Paul, you're on Route 51.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. My question is for Chris. I'm a manager of a small business in Rhinelander. Probably 95% of the population in Rhinelander has never even heard of our business. But I'm wondering, I have a 2-year-old son, and I'm wondering what kind of infrastructure are you planning on to try to keep the young people in the area so they're not moving away to the bigger cities looking for these better jobs?
Paul, thanks so much for the phone call. Chris?
Absolutely. As you pointed out, you have a younger child. First point is, as Zach pointed out, city planning as it comes is a trend. When I grew up, my dad said you pretty much have to reinvent your business every 5 years because that puts it back in the face of the people. That takes an investment. It takes some of your own personal money away to reinvest in your business. What I'm going to ask in that is the infrastructure of the roads need to be there so that new businesses move in so we have a larger tax base. Larger tax base, we can invest more in our parks and the different ideas. Also offering those entrepreneurships and those citizen groups to partner with the city with a direction so we can move forward to make sure we have those things that might be what people want. We have to find out what they want, too. Housing stock. You talk about housing stock. Young professionals need and request a good housing stock. So if I'm going to try to get them not to live outside the city but live inside the city, I need to improve my housing stock so they have better choices. How do you do that? You have to have a business plan moving forward.
I'd like all three of you to comment on the willingness of voters in today's America to choose non-traditional candidates. Derek, you mentioned this before. We saw it in the election of Barack Obama in 2008, the election of Donald Trump in 2016. What is it that makes voters today more inclined to choose candidates who lack traditional political experience? Zach Vruwink?
You know, I think it's an interesting dynamic because the electorate has every time I think that pollsters and others do predictions, they often find themselves wrong. And I think that's the unique part of a democracy is that folks of any background, of any creed can run for office. And that's a really cool, unique benefit to our communities. And I think that's a big reason why we have such disparate trends in terms of people running for, especially local office, because it's the closest to the people. And so any background, anybody can sign up and get the signatures and become on the ballot.
Chris Fredrickson?
Yeah, we're all nonpartisan. Yeah, I know you've asked us what our background is, but it's nonpartisan. It's the trueness of the people, and they're the people you connect with. I think they want to connect with their representatives, no matter where they are. So I think it's pretty easy to come out in local, but it's also surprising to the larger groups because they have a voice.
Derek Wallner?
I think it's the spirit of America to take risks, and if you see the world around you changing the way it is, you know that we need to try something new. So I think the voters know that we need change, and they saw it in us.
What do you think of the increasing activism being displayed by young people today? Millennials are showing a degree of political involvement not seen by young people since the Vietnam War.
I love it. It's awesome. When I was at Stout, I was a school newspaper reporter, and so I covered the Wisconsin governor election, and there was no spirit, there's no enthusiasm around it. Among young people, it was just kind of a non-issue. But then when Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders ran, it was a totally different thing. Everyone was excited, everyone was talking about it, so that was a big turning point.
And Chris Fredrickson, more young people getting involved in
absolutely.
Politics.
As I watch the kids I coach, I'm humbled. I learn more from them than I've taught them. So allowing them to have that platform right away it's neat. I mean, they're going to do great things.
Zach Vruwink?
I think civic participation at a young age is something that's very critical and it had been lost in our country for a long time, and it's making a resurgence, which is really exciting. You know, for me, it's having a mayor's youth council to lean on their ideas because they're the future leaders. They're the folks that are going to be coming back to our communities, and we need to listen to them, and I think it's really exciting to see.
So you see a potential for young people not only getting involved in national politics, which is what is getting all the headlines, but local politics, like in Wisconsin Rapids.
That's right. We've got student observers at our city council meeting, both from the two high schools in the city, and it's very exciting because those folks are high school students, and they're showing up to what a lot of people believe are boring city council meetings.
Chris?
One of the ideas I had was a blog, the mayor's blog, where whatever the topic is that week, whether if it's a street that we're picking to work on or whatever, sending out to 2 fifth-grade classes and having them dialogue and come up with an answer. Mm-hmm. You'll get different answers and actually be really impressed in what you get as a product.
Derek, you're 25 years old. How are you going to get more 25-year-olds involved?
I think I have just a natural advantage because I grew up using the technology that they grew up with. So communication to us, it's never really been face-to-face. I know our generation gets a lot of flack for that because we don't talk to each other in person. But
you do.
We're always on the phone. But that's a good thing in my eyes. We're talking to a more diverse, a larger group of people.
Derek Wallner, Chris Fredrickson, Zach Vruwink, we're completely out of time. We could have talked for another 2 hours
here.
Thank you.
That was fun.
Thank you so much for being with us.
I might come down here and hang out with you.
All right.
Thanks, Glenn.
We want to thank today's guests, the newly elected mayor of Merrill, Derek Wallner, the newly elected mayor of Rhinelander, Chris Fredrickson, and the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids, Zach Vruwink. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jana Schleiss. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme song. Special music today by Bruce Springsteen, the Andrews Sisters, John Mellencamp, Igloo and Hartley, David Johansson, and Stevie Wonder. Next week on Route 51, we look at a Wisconsin public television project in Tomahawk, a conference in which teachers from across north central Wisconsin are setting the agenda and planning a strategy for what they see as the greatest priorities for education in our region. If you missed part of this show, you can hear it again Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. You can download it at wpr.org/route51. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we are heading out of town.